Good morning, church. Let me just say, I want to say some thank yous first. If you're new here, we don't use the word volunteer. And we don't because I think a lot of times volunteers can be manipulated. You guys always want to do the best, and we know that. But we want you doing what your passion is. And the way we do that is we have what we call dream teams. And those are the teams that make everything work, our ushers and greeters. And so when you saw in the video that you can be on the egg drop dream team, and that just simply means you can come and help and do what Melanie said and just help us show people love and help us show people that there's a good God who loves them and just be a part of it. I want to echo what Melanie said. It's an honor, and it makes me proud to be a part of such a church that is just so generous. We can't even tell you, just even for the legalities of like Project 216 with the kids, of I wish you could really know the impact that you're making on kids' lives. That every week we encounter people who have been touched by something that we're doing here. And it's just an honor. And I'm excited about the egg drop and about being part of the livestock festival coming up in a couple weeks. And I know you were generous as always today, and we're going to see God do some big things. We're going to jump right into part three of our series. Our series is called This Is That, based out of the verse out of Acts chapter 2, which we've been reading in verse 12. And it says that this is the beginning of the church. The church was literally just born. The Holy Spirit showed up. Jesus told the disciples, go to the upper room and wait. You're going to get what you need to make it. And people outside heard this commotion going on. They didn't get it. They were literally making fun of it. As you see in the verse, it says in verse 12 here, that amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? What is going on here? Then they began to even go further in the next verse and make fun of it. And if you skip all the way toward the end, Paul says, hey, I'm going to explain this to you. They're not drunk like you think they are. But the last verse says, but this is that. It's not what you were thinking it is, but it's actually that. We've taken everything from this scripture. The first week we talked about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is not an it, it's a he, it's a person. It is the third part of the Trinity, of the Godhead. It's not weird. People are weird. God's not. The second week we talked about worship, about our passion and our purpose, that we were created. God created us to be in a relationship with him, but also to worship. Somebody was trying to FaceTime me in the middle of service. Should I tell on who it is? Yes. No, I'm not. Naughty, naughty. We talked about worship. We talked about that we're created for worship. We're created to have a relationship with God and to be and to worship him. And the Bible says that's our purpose. Today we're going to jump into another topic that sadly, and it hurts my heart to hear people talk about this, and that is this topic of healing. Because Peter in the verse in Acts was telling people, hey, y'all been waiting for this for a long time. And the thing you've been waiting for is here. And you're rejecting it because you don't understand it. And sadly, the same is true with healing. There's all kinds of crazy theologies and human reasoning of about God and healing and about how God works. And if you've been around churches, you've heard all of these different views. But I want to share with you today what the Bible says about healing. Because if we have to lay an opinion of man down or opinion of the Bible, the fact, the truth of the Bible, which one are we going to lean on? We're going to lean on the truth of the word. Yet a lot of us reject or don't even allow God to work in our lives because we don't understand. And this is sadly, it's common across a lot of churches. And there are reasons that we don't want to talk about healing. Maybe you haven't really thought about it, but let me give you three things as you're not in your notes. It's just kind of an intro to kind of get you thinking. I believe there's three kinds of healing. The first kind is natural healing. God created this miraculous body that can heal itself. You can break a bone and they can put a cast on it and your bones grow back together. That you can, if you cut yourself, that blood is created to clot and coagulate and scab and heal. Your damaged skin heals and closes itself. God, it just created a wonderful, incredible thing that science has yet to figure out or replicate. Even in all the amazing things that science can do, they can't replicate the human body, and it naturally heals itself. Second, and a lot of Christians will look down on other Christians for talking about this, but God heals medically. Well, how do you say that, Clint? Because the doctors are doing it. No, the doctors aren't. You're taking something from God that he created. The Bible says in Proverbs, this is not in your notes, but in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "For the Lord grants wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." They're good at it, but they're good at it because God gave the wisdom to them. Now, I'm not saying we don't use wisdom in who we go to and who we allow to give us medicine and treat our bodies. And I think you use wisdom. But the Bible says that God gave us wisdom to be able to heal ourselves. So I think there's medical healing. And we can accept natural and we can accept medical. Because we've all been there. How many of you have ever broken a bone? How many of you have ever had minor surgery? How many of you ever had major surgery? How many of you ever had plastic surgery? Wait, don't answer that. You see what I'm getting at, though? We have no problem with letting our bodies heal itself. We have no problem with if something's wrong, we go to the doctor and let the doctor heal us and help us get well, whether it be through medicine or some kind of procedure or treatment. But why do we struggle so much with God healing us? Why is that such a big issue? Churches have split over this issue of God healing. We're okay with the natural, okay with the medical, but we just explain away. And it may be because you had a bad experience. But the Bible's clear, and this one's not in your notes, but it'll be on the screen behind me. In Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says about Jesus that he went throughout. That means everywhere. Teaching them in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news, talking about what he was there to do, and doing what? Healing every disease and sickness among the people. Healing everything. It's a broad term meant to encompass everything. The Greek word means everything. But there's three things we need to know as we get started that healing is not, because these interfere and prolong and promote some of this crazy theology and beliefs. So I'm going to give you three things that healing is not to start with. First one, and y'all want you to listen to me and listen carefully because I don't want you going out and saying something that I didn't say. So listen carefully. Healing is and was not ever for show. Some of our experience is today, there are those, and I think they're in error, that teach and they make healing about a show. And don't get me wrong. Healing, when somebody is healed, is a very powerful move, and it excites people about God, and it even demonstrates to those who don't believe in God and the healing power that there is a God. But that doesn't sustain you. That doesn't keep somebody going. If you remember after 9/11, when the towers fell and all that came on, churches in America were at their highest, the fullest they've ever been, and it lasted about 6 months. I've been in churches and seen churches where God's done supernatural healing, and things take off, but they begin to be about the show rather than about people, and then things begin to taper back off because it doesn't sustain you. This idea that God only heals is an idea called sensationalism, sensationalist. That God heals to show how good he is, to bring attention to himself. That God only cares, it moves that we're like people. God doesn't care about the people, just about using you to make him known. And that's so far from the truth. It's not what God is about. Jesus didn't heal people because he wanted to draw attention to himself. Remember the leprous man, the man that came to Jesus and said, "Hey, will you heal me?" Jesus said, "Yes." And then what did he tell him after he healed him? "Don't tell anybody. You go and show yourself to the priest so that you can be declared clean. But don't tell anybody." Obviously, he didn't. The Bible says that he went out and then more people came to see Jesus. But see, there are people who I would say are normal, like me and you, and will shy away from healing. We'll shy away from even getting prayed for because we don't want to be a part of the spectacle. We just want to encounter our real God, our loving God, our the Father, the healer, our physician. We don't want it to be about a show. And maybe you've experienced that, but it can't be the thing that keeps us from walking and letting God move in our body. But Jesus never had to prove who he was or draw attention to himself. His mission was for people. He was about people, to have a relationship with them so he could have an eternal relationship with them. Jesus even told the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, it says, one day the teachers of the law were getting after Jesus. And they said, hey, we want you to show us a miraculous sign to do what? You need to prove who you are. Look what Jesus tells them in the next verse. But Jesus said, only an evil and adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. He said, the only thing I'm going to give to you, I'll go ahead and translate this for you, is I'm going to be gone for 3 days, and when I get back, look out. That's what the story of Jonah. Jonah was 3 days in the whale, is the type and shadow of what was coming for Jesus. He said, that's the only miracle you need. In other words, I don't need to show you anything else because I'm going to go pay the price for your sin, and by the stripes and the blood that I shed, you're going to be healed. That's all you need to know. So it's not a sensationalist. It's not about, now don't get me wrong, it is a big deal. I have prayed for somebody when I was traveling in seminary. I was actually in South Africa. We were doing music, and they brought this little boy. If you've heard this story, forgive me, but it's a good one, and it was an impact in my life. Brought this little boy to the front afterwards and just said, hey, will y'all pray with this little boy? He had broke his foot, broke his ankle, and there they didn't have the medical ability to put it in a cast, so his ankle had just healed into one solid bone, and he had what we would call a club foot. So he limped, and he couldn't run. He just barely would scoot himself along, and he came, and they said, well, pray for him. And honestly, I didn't think anything about it. I didn't say, well, y'all need to wait a few minutes because I got to go back and build my faith up. And, you know, I didn't go look up scripture and get all my scriptures lined up. I simply went to the boy and sat down in front of him and just said, can I pray for your ankle? Because they never asked him if he wanted to be prayed for. So I asked him and he said yes. And so I just said, God, whatever it is you need to do, help him and fix it. And the little boy kind of looked at me and I looked back at him. And I'm thinking, did I do something wrong? He had that look on his face like, you're in trouble. You know, I was waiting for a parent to come grab me. And then all of a sudden, the kid just took off running. Now, I didn't know it at the time. We just prayed for an ankle. But everybody, there was 2,000 people in this huge congregation, and they all knew that little boy. And when he took off running, don't get me wrong, it was a sensational experience. And people responded and began to, I want more prayer. Pray for us, pray for us. All of that is true, but it still doesn't change the fact that the only thing Jesus and our Father was concerned about was what? That little boy. So it's not a show, and we sometimes tend to go away from it because we think it's about a show. In John chapter 6, Jesus does a miracle and feeds 5,000 and thousands of people. And what did they say? Afterwards, they said, well, can you do another one? It obviously did not satisfy them enough to believe who he was. So it's not a sensationalist thing. The second thing, healing does not deny facts. If you want a term for this, this is a confessionalist. These are the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. If I say it over and 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 over, therefore I have it. That's not healing. I remember I've met people before, and you meet somebody and they have, say, a runny nose. And I'm like, hey, bro, your nose is running. No, it's not. No, your nose is running. No, it's not. I can see boogers and snot dripping off your lips and your nose is running. No, it's not. It's like if I say it, then I somehow it's going to be with me forever. You know, and what the guy said was, I can't say it because then I'll claim it. And if I claim it, then I can't get healing. And I remember thinking, is your faith in our God so shallow that because you say, I have a runny nose, now God can't heal you? You know, I just had some friends that had some terrible diagnosis and they were afraid to even say it. I said, listen, you can't be afraid because the Bible says there's no fear. You're not afraid of that because he's given you victory over it. See, and that's not faith to say, well, I'm just not going to say it because I have faith that I don't have it. That's not faith. Faith is to say, my nose is running, but my God's going to heal me. The faith is saying, they say I have this, but my God says I'm healthy. They say this is, I only have 6 months. I say I'm going to live to be 120. Why? Because God's our healer. Now, don't get me wrong. I do believe in confession, that you have to have a good confession. I know people who have said over and over and over, my dad had cancer, I'm going to get cancer. My dad had cancer, I'm going to get cancer. And what do you know? Guess what they had? So I do believe there's truth in it. But our healing's not based on this confessional idea of, if I admit I have it, we're not denying facts. The fact is, you have a runny nose. Truth is, with the capital T, God's a healer. See, it's not, they're not contradictory. The Bible says of Jesus that, a name for God is, there's all these different lists. If you look it up in your Bible, there's all these names for God. And one of them is Jehovah Rapha, which is translated Jehovah, or God who heals, the great physician who heals the physical and emotional needs of his people. The Bible actually says in Exodus 15, verse 26, that he said, if you'll listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, follow what God says is right, keep obeying his commandments, keep all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer what I'm putting on the Egyptians. Why? Because I am the Lord who does what? Let's say that again. I am the Lord who heals you. So it's not denying the fact. He said, listen, this is truth. Y'all got all this sickness around you, but I'm the healer. You're not going to have to worry about that because I'm your God. I'm the healer. The third thing, and this is the big one, the big mama jama, the big whammy that people throw at you when you ask for prayer for healing, or because I believe, frankly, it's a dismissal, and that is divine healing has not stopped. Divine healing has not stopped. This is a phrase or line of thinking called cessationism. And there's actually a theology that a lot of churches, it would surprise you how many churches believe this. And there's not one verse in the Bible to support it. And I will say it proudly and loudly and online and to all of you. There is not one line of scripture to support this line of thought that God no longer heals. Not one. Some man came up with that. And probably some man with all these letters behind his name, that he's smarter than everybody else. It doesn't make it true. It does not make it true. They believe that healing and miracles died with the last apostle. Well, I have a problem with that, because that's not what my Bible says. James chapter 5, verse 14 says, are any of you sick? You should call on the elders of the church to come and pray for you, anointing you with oil. And I'll go ahead and give you a heads up at the end of the service today. That's what we're going to do. We don't come dump oil on your head and make a mess and ruin your hair. It's just a little bit of oil, and there's no magic in the oil. The oil is just simply a sign all through the Old Testament of the power of God and the activity of the Holy Spirit. That's all it is. The Bible says you call the elders, you call leaders, people who have faith, and to pray with you, anoint them in the name of the Lord. And look at verse 15. Such a prayer offered in faith will do what? Heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. The Lord makes you well. So this idea that healing has stopped is just ludicrous, because there's nowhere in the Bible. That would mean God changed. The Bible says of God in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can't change. I believe God it's called the immutability of God is the big word. He can't change. And if he does, the whole thing falls apart. If one thing about God changes, the whole thing falls apart, because what he says is true. What he says doesn't change. Now, here's the difficult part when we talk about healing. Because most of us, including me, would say, I've seen God do some crazy cool things. You may not even realize it. I've seen God heal people. I've been on accidents with emergency services and seen people that shouldn't be alive, and they stay alive and go to the hospital and come back and they're fine. And the only explanation is God. We've experienced, we've all seen it. But on the other hand, we've all done what? We've all been to funerals of the people that we've prayed for, fervently, passionately prayed for their healing, and it didn't happen. Right? Am I the only one that's prayed for somebody that's not made it? I know you don't want to hear your pastor say that, but am I the only one? Is anybody else that you passionately begged God, prayed God, pleaded scripture, talked about scripture? You know, you had your whole prayer chains from other churches. You've called the prayer hotlines and you've prayed and prayed and prayed. And healing doesn't come. My answer when asked why some people are healed and some people aren't is really deep. Are you ready? I don't know. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I don't know. Sometimes I think when I get to heaven, that's when I'm going to ask God. We get there, God, I prayed. I mean, I know she doesn't mind me saying this, but Lauren Amoson used to be Meyerhofer. Most of you remember her mom, Jenny, passed away several years ago from cancer. We prayed and prayed. I know Lauren prayed and prayed. I don't have an answer. But if you talk to Lauren, she's like, listen, I'm going to see my mom. She's not hung up on the why not, because in our eyes as Christians, healing comes either way. I don't have an answer. But when we throw the whole thing out because you don't have an answer, we got a problem. Because the Bible says there's a lot of stuff in here that you don't know and you don't understand. So do we just throw it away? No. There's a scripture in Isaiah 57 verse 1. And it's used a lot of times by pastors just to help give people a point of a perspective. Because I think that's what's wrong with healing. Our perspective is wrong. And it says, good people pass away. The godly often die before their time, but no one seems to care or wonder why. Why? Because we're mad at God. God, why didn't you heal him? Well, don't you care? There's maybe a reason why. And look what it says. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. That translated to now says, we don't know what's ahead. We don't know what would have happened. We don't know what could have happened. I just had a friend within this last year, a girl I went to school with. She was leaving her house. She lives in a small town in Texas, much like Sylvania. She was headed to church where she worked as a youth pastor, her and her five-year-old daughter in the back seat. Something happened as she went off the road, overcorrected, turned the car over, only to find out that her daughter never buckled. Didn't survive. 5 years old. And I sat in my office and cried. Not that I'm that close to her. I haven't seen her in 20 years, but just... I mean, my girls are 8 and 14. I can't imagine being out in a country road by yourself, not being able to do anything. But to watch this girl online go through and be public about it and talk about grief and asking God questions, I just began to see she's not throwing the whole thing out just because she doesn't have an answer. That whatever was ahead, God only knows. And maybe he'll answer that question when we get to heaven. But right now, he hasn't. It's messy. Honestly, it's one of the things that I would say we ask God when we get to heaven, but I don't know that. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be so overwhelmed by heaven that the things we thought were important aren't going to be important. So let me answer this question. Let me answer the question of healing real quick. And I'm going to answer this with three questions. I'm going to give you three questions to answer. And let me just go ahead and give you, like a good college professor, I'm going to go ahead and give you the answers. All three are yes. You can just circle yes. It's not a trick question, but these are things that we need. If when you can solidify these questions in your relationship with God and in your heart, believing for healing and walking forward with healing and asking God to heal you and praying for other people will be a whole lot easier. I like to make complicated things and simple so we can put the cookies on the bottom shelf so everybody can get one. This is one of those times. The first one is you have to answer this question. Is God or is he not our physician? Anybody want? Is he or is he not our physician? And the answer is yes. The Bible says, I talked about it a few minutes ago, one of his very names, the description of God himself, is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, the great physician. Psalm chapter 103, verse 3 says that he forgives all my sins, salvation, and on the other side does what? Heals me. I've heard people say, well, God healed my sins and that's all I can ask for. No, it's not. Because to me, if you do that, you diminish what we're about to begin to celebrate as we walk into Easter. The Bible says he came to save you, to secure your eternity, and to do what? Make you whole. And let me just get personal for a minute. When you question that, it bothers me. And the reason it bothers me is because every night of our lives for the last 14 years, we stood with Emma and says, you are whole and complete and lacking nothing. And if he doesn't do it, I'm wasting my time. Every time we come in on Sunday mornings, I want to be able to stand up and go, hey guys, look. It didn't happen. But it doesn't change the fact that every night when we go to bed, we pray the same thing. Emma, you are whole, complete, and lacking nothing. You are going to change the world. God's going to use you to change the world. Will it be through her healing? I don't know. But it won't be the sensation of her healing. It'll be the power of her healing, which then will be demonstrated to you. That was a good place to amen. He forgives all my sins and he heals my diseases. 1 Peter 2:24. The Bible says he personally carried our sins on the cross. This is Peter quoting Isaiah out of Isaiah 53. So that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. And by his wounds, here's salvation, and following that is healing. By his wounds, I am healed. Well, what motivates God then? Because if you say, you can't say it's not happening more because it is. Well, then God has to have Jesus has a motivation. And I'm just going to give you one verse. And it says this many, many times throughout the Gospels. Look at Matthew 14:14. It says, Jesus saw a huge crowd as he stepped from the boat. And he did what? He had compassion on them. See, he's not about making a show of himself. He's not about having to prove anything to you. He's about one thing only. And that is, he's about people. He loves people. He's about the compassion to move and to see people healed and to see them receive what he died for. God, contrary to amazingly, people actually believe that God wants you sick so he'll teach you something. That is a load of hogwash. Why would God send his son to die for Cam only to strike him with cancer? Anybody got an answer? I'm open to listen. Why would God send his son to be beaten, tortured, just to save my soul, and then to put a sickness and disease on him? This goes back to the answer of not knowing, and not knowing is where faith comes in, and faith says I'm okay with not knowing because I have faith in the God who heals. Faith says it's okay because I don't have to have all the answers. God doesn't want you sick. And the reason that you say, well, why do people get sick then? It's because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that there is evil. And the Bible says that the devil is roaring like a lion, trying to take people out. One of the devil's tools, he puts this into people's lives. God's not doing this. Another big thing we hear is when people talk about healing is, and this is probably the big one in our area, is God heal them. If it is your will. God heal them if it's your will. So you're answering the question, is it God's will to heal? Yes or no? And the answer is yes. Honestly, I think it's a cop-out, not only for pastors, because I'm amazed how many times I'll hear a pastor say this. Oh, we're going to pray for sister so-and-so. And God, if it be your will, please make her whole. Those are not the people I want praying for me. When we came home from the doctor after we received the diagnosis that Emma had a chromosomal thing going on, I didn't go tell anybody. We found about four or five people that I knew they believed that God was alive and that God healed and that he was still healing people today. And those are the only people we told for a long time. I didn't want to hear other people's opinion. Because if you serve a God that might want to heal me, I don't want to serve your God. If you serve a God that discriminates and heals this person and doesn't heal this person just willy-nilly, I don't want to have anything to do with that God. But the Bible says that his will is to heal us. Again, why we have to also deal with the fallen world. We don't want to say yes to people and it not happen. We don't know why some people are healed, but let me ask you this question. Because somebody will say, well, God doesn't want everybody healed. Well, that can't be true. Because let me ask you this. Does the Bible say that it's God's desire that every man would be saved? Does it say that? Yes, it does. It says in 2 Peter 3:9 that his will is that no one would be destroyed, that everybody would repent and be saved. Well then, is everybody saved? No. Does everybody meet Jesus before they take their last breath? No. It doesn't happen. Does that mean that because everybody's not saved, then that scripture is not true? No. Then why do we do that with healing? Why do we dismiss healing? Because it's not true in every case. Because are we putting the blame on God, or are we saying there's something going on in the earth? I'm not putting condemnation on people, but we live in a fallen world. Salvation has to be received by grace through faith, and healing, part of healing is faith. God's will is that people will be healed, and that has not changed. Look what the Bible says in Mark chapter 1. This is the story of the leper. It says, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus. He was actually one of several, begging to be healed. And he says, if you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And then in verse 41, moved again, here's the word, moved again in compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I'm willing, he said, to what? To heal you. Y'all don't focus on them. They're just sneaking back up. They're invisible. He says, listen, I'm willing. See, we can't say, is God willing to heal me? No, he says very clear, again, because he can't change. You see, we don't question God's ability, right? Is there anybody that's had a broken bone, and with that broken bone, you said, I wonder if God is able to heal me? No, we don't question God's ability. What do we question? His willingness. You are saying to the God Almighty, creator of the universe, the God who made you, I know you can, but I'm not sure you will. You have to answer that question. Is God willing to heal you? Look in Luke chapter 4, verse 40. As the Bible says, as the sun went down that evening, Jesus had just healed Peter's mother-in-law. And it says, people throughout the village heard about it and brought sick family members to Jesus. That no matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed everyone. Do you see willingness there? Let me give you something even more. This word, the word touch, when we're talking about the leper, the Bible says that the leper came to him. One, Jesus was never supposed to touch the man because he was unclean. And then Jewish tradition, that would make Jesus unclean. So when he touched him, everything changed. That word touch, that one time, is a different translation, and it doesn't really mean touch like touch. It means touch like embrace. So here is Jesus embracing somebody he's not supposed to even touch. Why? Because in the Old Testament, unclean made clean unclean. That's how it worked. If you touched something unclean and you were clean, you were now unclean, and you had to go through the process. Now under the New Testament, under the grace and the mercy and the healing power of our Lord Jesus, now clean comes to us, the unclean, and makes us clean. Do you get that? The clean now makes the unclean clean. The healed and whole, the complete, true Jesus, who is God fully, now comes and connects with us, who is everything that's opposite of it. And the Bible says it makes us whole. He healed everyone. His will is not that anybody would be sick. It's that people would be healed. Now, honestly, really quick, here's the question that you have to answer. If you answer the other two and you don't answer this one, you got to answer this question. And that is God willing to heal me? Okay, great. He's willing to heal all those other people. You read it in the Bible and I see it. Great. He's healing those people. But Clint, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I am. You don't know why I have the disease I have because of the things I have. You don't know why I'm dealing with the things I am and they're a result of the things where I've been and I've been injured, and you just don't know. Okay, I can get, God will save me and keep me with him for eternity, but I can't, God's not going to heal me. Well, no, the clean now makes the unclean whole. God wants you and all of your mess. He wants you and all of your stuff. And he's going to heal you regardless. The Bible says he's going to encounter you regardless. As we close, I want you to see this. Look what the Pharisees and the religious people who wanted to know, they asked Jesus, why do you hang out with these reprobates? The tax collectors, you're touching lepers. There's that woman with the issue of blood, you let her touch you, and you're talking to that woman at the well. You're hanging out with these people that are all unclean, and these high and mighty people were waiting on Jesus to give them some big theological dissertation on why it was okay for him. But look what he tells them. In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, when Jesus heard this, he told them, listen, healthy people don't need a doctor. Who does? Sick people need a doctor. I have come not to call those who think they are healthy, but for those who know that everything's not right. And thank God he did. Thank God he showed up for me. Things just aren't right. Not only does he forgive me, but the Bible says he's now made me whole. And I'm going to tell you something, and I've said this many times. If you're new, hear this. I had to come to grips with the fact that I have a daughter who needs a miracle. And I was mad at God. I stood in this room and said, God, what the... And I probably said it that day because I was mad. God, I'm here to serve you. I'm giving my life to serve you. I'm doing my best to love these people. I'm doing my best, and this is what I get? And I had to come back and answer these three questions. Is God or is God not our physician? Yes. Is God willing or not to heal today? Yes. And is he willing to heal me and my family? The answer is yes. That he came just for us. Today we're going to do something a little different. Normally I'll turn it over right to the offering. I've ended a few minutes early. It's 11:19. We got a few minutes. Now I'm going to do something that we normally don't do. I'm going to ask you to look up at me. And I'm going to ask you point blank. If you have something wrong in your life, or maybe if you even want to go so far as to say, I have somebody that's not here, that they have a diagnosis. I've got this problem in my life. I have this health issue. I want to pray for you. And let me just tell you how it's going to go so you don't have to wonder and then people don't respond and don't move because they're freaked out. This is all we're going to do. The Bible says in James that if you call the elders together, you lay hands on the sick, they will do what? They will recover. They will be healed. So I've asked Cam, and we've got Chuck and Tammy are over there on the prayer team today, and I've asked them to come. And all we're going to do is simply take a little dab of oil, put it on your head, and just say, God, your word says if we agree and we lay hands on the sick according to your work and your word, they will be healed. That's it. Then I expect in the weeks to come to have testimonies coming back to saying, I can't explain it, but I'm better. I can't explain it, but the diagnosis they said was true is no longer true. I can't explain it. My kid who was sick is not sick anymore. I can't explain it. It wasn't natural. It wasn't medical. All I know is y'all prayed and got something happened. All right? Now, let me ask you. If that's you this morning, please. If you're visiting, this is not a normal every week thing. But this morning, you don't know how much, and I just, well, bleep it out later, how much crap we've been through this morning. I just told Melanie, God must be up to something. We just had technical issues, and we just had all kinds of stuff all week going on. I just believe that God just wants to touch you today and wants healing in your life. Amen? Here's what I'm asking. If that's you, if you would say, Clint, I need you to pray for me or I'm going to stand in for somebody. I believe that happens. The Bible said all through the New Testament, they would even send Peter, they would touch, or Paul would touch handkerchiefs and they would send it out to people. to go out, and it was just, there's no time and space in God. You want to stand in for somebody. Not going to take all day to do it, because God's already done everything he needs to do. It's on us now just to receive it and let God work. Amen? Here's what I want to ask you to do. If that's you, say, Clint, include me. I want to have my hands laid on me. Prayer of faith, prayer of wellness, whole healing on me, or for somebody I'm standing in for. And here's what I want you to do. I just want you to get out of your seat. Somebody's going to have to move first. Somebody break. And then we're just going to stand up here in the line. You just stand right here next to Aaron. And I've come prepared. It doesn't matter how many of you are. I've got some extra people that are going to come pray with us. You just stand shoulder to shoulder. Just stretch out if you have to. Cam's going to start on that end. If I want to ask some of my trustees, if you guys want to come up. And all we're going to do is just walk by, touch you on the forehead, and agree with you in faith that healing is manifested in your body. Amen? Now, I want, real quick, if you're up front, I want you to look at me real quick. Let me have your eyes real quick. You need to understand this. The devil's having a fit right now. And as soon as you step away, the devil's going to tell you this. You're not healed. You didn't get it. Listen, God has nothing to prove, and you have nothing to prove to God. Other than, God, I'm here. I've received you as my Savior. Now do what you've already done. Let it be manifested in